This is Carrie.
And Michelle. And welcome to Raising Your Consciousness.
This is a space to raise our consciousness and reach our full spiritual potential.
And that's through spiritual, esoteric, and even magical practices. We're here to bring happiness and meaning back into your life.
Let's get started.
Good evening, everyone. This is Michelle and Carrie. And today we are going to talk about what is high magic. We use the term magic quite a bit. I feel like it's really important that you understand what that means. We're going to explain that for you today and kind of open up a discussion to the difference between high magic and low magic and other different types of magic.
Wonderful. I would love to talk a little bit more about the different types of magic. I often think about the magic that we practice as ceremonial magic, in that a lot of our practices involve a particular orchestrated set of movements and words to achieve the effect that we're looking for. Whereas other magic like pagan or Wicca is a little bit more informal, a little bit more tool-based maybe.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit more tool-based. High magic is where you are actually connecting with something higher than yourself. If you were to look at the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, it's actually called the Sephiroth, and you will see different names on there. So you're going to see Keter, you're going to see Bina, you're going to see Chesed, you're going to see Tiphereth, Gebera, Nesak, Hod,
Yesod,
Yesod, Malkut. Anyway, and these are the divine names of God. And some people that are real informed with the Bible, they've heard these names before. They've heard of Adonai or Shaddai, or these are variations of the different names of God based on the level of consciousness that we're moving from. As we elevate our consciousness, we're in a certain level, but we have the opportunity to move up. And then when we start making choices that are more about others versus self-service, then we're elevating our consciousness. And as we elevate our consciousness, we're moving into different parts of ourselves. Well, God is connected to us. So if God is connected to us, then God has different variations of that connection. At least that's the way I look at it. What do you think?
No, I agree. I definitely see those spheres on the Tree of Life as sort of different aspects of God. And, you know, the idea of moving through the Tree of Life to move closer to the divine, not only the divine external to you, but the divine that's reflected inside of you, like moving closer to your higher self or your higher genius as you sort of ascend the Tree of Life. And I think that's one of the purposes of high magic. It's not just to like make things happen for yourself, but also to, you know, improve yourself.
Absolutely. Purifying ourselves, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know, like, in general, I think of high magic being more of a pure form, a more spiritual way of self-improvement and experiencing this lifetime. And I see things like the Tree of Life as a tool that we use in high magic to achieve our goals. And getting back to the Tree of Life, what I think is so interesting about it, with each one of these spheres on the trees, how each one has associated with it different angels and archangels, it's almost like you can imagine each sphere like being this huge, like having its own little library. And in that library contains all these associations that go with the spheres. And when you're needing something or you're feeling a lack of something in a particular area, you know, once you study this, you can kind of walk into these different libraries to pick out the resources you need. And so in a lot of ways, I see high magic as a means of obtaining the tools necessary for sort of living your best life, and also for learning and growing in this lifetime. If we have many lifetimes to go through, we talked about past lives, I think, in a previous episode. Like, you know, it's a gift to have all these tools and resources to learn from so that we can grow in this lifetime before the next.
I love the way you said, like, accessing different libraries. That makes so much sense to me, and it seems to simplify it. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, we are ourselves, just in our own consciousness, we have our own tree of life.
Yes.
And if you think about breaking it out, like, I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my children are older, but mm-hmm. I am still a mother.
You'll always be their mother.
And so as a mother, if someone was to want to access that part from me, mm-hmm. then they're going to pull from that space of Michelle that is a mother.
Right.
Or if somebody comes to me for spiritual development, they're going to be pulling from that angle of that spiritual self.
Mm-hmm.
As a friend, or as a wife, or as a businesswoman. I mean, I have all these different aspects of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's like, you know, when somebody wants to help me, you know, I mean, if somebody wants to get help from me, they're looking at accessing a specific part of me, which is the same thing. You know, it's sort of like dialing in to that part of God that can help you with that particular thing. So I love how you said that library of information, accessing that particular. So there's all these different libraries. And I see it as sort of, you know, as you're moving up, you're learning more. It's sort of like you learn how to add before you
yes.
learn how to divide. And
yep.
learn how to add and divide before you start doing algebra, you know?
Exactly. And I feel like as we, you know, keep learning in this tradition, like, it's almost to me like we're adding more books to mm-hmm. to each little sphere's library. Like, the associations keep growing, the usefulness keeps growing. And I think that's a really wonderful aspect of the magic that we practice, is that it's so big. Like, there's so much there, so much to learn. And also at the same time, I like it because it's very ordered and organized as well, right? There's a process for going through it and moving through it. And sometimes it's incredibly challenging and complicated. There's just so much information, but you know that there's a way to move through it. And I'm really glad that you started talking about this type of magic with the Tree of Life, because it's sort of the perfect metaphor for moving through our magical practice.
I love that. I think that it's so important that we understand that that's really what it's about. It's about our own spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the ritual side of it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do is we practice these rituals. So let's kind of define what a ritual is. When you go to a Catholic church and you go to Mass, they do these specific things. Now, I'm not Catholic, so I've only been to a Catholic church a few times, but so you might be able to talk about that a little bit more than
mm-hmm.
I can. But there are specific rituals that they do. They're very formal in their ways mm-hmm. of doing things, because they've done it enough to where they know that if they do these things happen,
yeah. right?
You could probably talk more on that, but using that as an example, that's kind of what we're doing. We are invoking that aspect of God. We are chanting those names. We're asking that energy of God to, you know, envelop us, or to surround us, or to protect us. We're also using those specific angels for different things. So what we're actually doing here in these rituals is connecting with aspects of God,
mm-hmm.
or like the feminine side of God,
mm-hmm.
and the masculine side of God, or the Son of God, or the Holy Spirit of God, or, you know, a part of God that does this specific thing. I love the Hindu religion because they really break it down,
yeah.
and but they believe it's all God.
Yeah.
But they're just like with a Sevarath, you're sort of diving into that particular part of God.
Right.
They just, okay, so here's the mother one, here's the father one, here's the
yeah.
son one, here's the one that it helps with childbirth. This is the one that helps with money issues. This one helps with manifesting. This one helps with problem solving. This one helps with, well, we have archangels to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of the same exact thing. So you have different angels that help you with different problems,
right,
or different growth aspects. And so what we're doing is we're kind of spending some time in that space and using those angels to help us with those specific issues.
Hey, I want to add on with talking about rituals and, you know, mentioning things like a Catholic Mass, which is full of ritual. And, you know, in the Catholic Mass, there's, you know, the transformation of the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Christ. It's a literal transformation. And so it's part of the ritual. The difference, I think, for us in practicing the magic we do is that we are each empowered to create ritual on our own. In the Catholic faith, one thing that always sort of made me feel like an outsider within the faith was that I could never be a priest, ever. Like, it's just, there's no possibility for me in that faith to be a priest. I would never have the opportunity to ritually turn bread into the body of Christ just because I'm a female, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same for everything else. There's, as just, you know, being a layperson in the faith, you don't really have the permission to work the acts that the priests do. And what I like about our practice is that it's empowering each one of us to connect with the divine and use our power. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're willing to work on it and pray and meditate and simply perform the rituals with a heart that's open to them, you can make it work. And that's one of my favorite things about our practice.
That is so beautifully said.
Oh, thank you.
That was really beautifully said. I love it. And it really is about our own personal spiritual growth. I think a lot of people, they see magic as something you're doing to obtain, like manifesting something. And that is part of it. I mean, sometimes we do need certain things in our life.
Absolutely.
And we need a little higher power to help us. So when you look at the traditional religions, like Christianity, for example, or Protestant religions, they will pray to God for those things.
Mm-hmm.
And most Christians or Protestant religions spend more time just praying in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have prayer before and they're thankful for their bread and they're thankful for their meals and they're thankful for the gathering and they're thankful for their friends and, you know, go into that part of it where they're spending time like going to church and honoring God. So they're spending that time and then they're working with their priest or their pastor to help them elevate by learning more and learning how to spend that time connecting. And it's similar in that way, except where we're doing it a little different. We're literally like spending that time communing with God and the angels to help us develop. And we're spending time in certain areas a little at a time, like maybe we're working on a specific element that we're working on to grow, as well as also asking for those things, you know, making those things happen in our life to make our life easier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because God doesn't want us to suffer, right?
No, absolutely not. And also as part of our practice, there is that sort of contemplative bit that we are asked to do before we attempt a magical manifestation, right? The divination before you work the ritual for manifestation. Is this, you know, is this what I should be doing right now? And, you know, sometimes the answer is no. You know, you might want to wait a little bit or you might want to change what you're asking for. So there is that bit of, it's not just like blindly, like, give me this. I'm going to work some magic to like make this. No, there's a thoughtfulness about it. And one thing struck me when you're talking about sort of the difference between, you know, like the Christian practice of prayer and going to church and our magic, you know, a lot of times it may seem like what we're doing is kind of out there and weird, but it's really like at its heart, the connection with the divine isn't much different than how any Christian or Jewish or Islamic person connects with their divine, right? Mm-hmm. And if there is one negative side to our practice is that it is a little bit more isolating than like church, right? Because a lot of the practices are on your own, you know, you yourself making those connections to a particular archangel or the angels or choir of angels. You're more doing this on an individual level, which has its positives and its negatives, to be sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you think about it, your relationship with God is individual.
It's a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, it does feel good mm-hmm. when you and I can work together on this, or absolutely. If we have a group of people mm-hmm. that we're working together, it always feels good when you have that communion with other people. So it's sort mm-hmm. of like that connection where you feel like you're not so alone. Mm-hmm. However, that relationship that you're developing is about you and God. And that's the bottom line. I think that the way that you've explained it is really very beautifully put.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, it's very beautiful. I just like the way you said it. You said it so eloquently. It's very nice. There's so many different types of magic, but before we get into describing other types of magic, I wanted to kind of bring up something that you and I had a conversation with the other day, how it can be used mm-hmm. to help you in a very dire situation.
Right.
So you and I both sort of accidentally ran into a gentleman who was falsely accused
of
murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was put in jail, and he was in jail for like 20 years before they
died. Many of that in solitary confinement, if you can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So his name is Damian Eccles, and he's written several different books. And I'm actually reading that first one about his story right now,
mm-hmm.
called Life After Death.
Yeah.
And he's going through everything that's happened in his life, his whole story about solitary confinement, what it was like. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
It really is. And what he did was he practiced high magic to help him survive.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for his practice, he said that he would be dead already.
Yeah.
Not because they would have, you know, because he was on death row, but not because they would have went ahead and, you know, put the needle in him, but because he would have died just from the danger that he experienced, the way that they were feeding him, the way they were treating him. You know, he, at one point, he didn't have any sunlight. He wasn't exposed to anything. He was in a very small room. There was no communication with anybody. He was all by himself. So right before he was released, he was literally almost dying.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And he said that if it wouldn't have been for that, he probably would have been dead.
Mm-hmm.
And working with those angels in that, and working with God and helping him, like, make his body stronger, make his mind stronger, make him, you know, be able to survive through the hardest, worst torment you could ever imagine in your life. And he really gets into how he went about it and mm-hmm. the tools that he used, and he was practicing high magic.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect example of, you know, how you can use something in a really rough time. I really wanted to kind of like throw that out at the importance of it. He really gets into talking about, and this is something that really struck home with me, mm-hmm. Carrie, was that he said when you're practicing this, it's like you're building up that strength around you. Okay.
Yes.
It's almost like you're building this armor. And he said that the more you do it, the stronger it is.
Yeah.
And he said, depending on the type of results you want will depend on how much you do. So he says, so if you work out like once a week or once a month, you're going to get that type of result from your body. But if you double it up, you're going to get a better result. And if you do it every day, you're going to get even a better result. And if you do it multiple times a day, like bodybuilders, for them to look like that, they work out every day for hours. Well, Damien was talking about sometimes performing these rituals for hours and hours.
Yeah, he's in the cell for 8 hours a day performing these rituals to achieve an incredible result. And I think it's what it took. And there's another part in the book where he talks about after he's released and just how absolutely exhausted he was, right? He had just kind of like burned out, you know, these meridians in himself, like he needed time to recover from it, from such intense use. And I think even, you know, he cautions, you know, you don't want to practice magic and do the ritual work like once a month or even once a week, right? You don't want to be a person who like never goes for a run, but then decides they, you know, want to run 20 miles on a Saturday. You're going to hurt yourself. And it's the same with our practice. It's all about, approaching it with discipline and consistency and knowing, you know, not to go crazy. Like, say, I really want this thing, so I'm going to do this ritual all day today, even though I haven't practiced in a month.
Well, you know, that's interesting you said that, because I've actually had some really interesting experiences with certain people that had a higher vibration. And it, so basically what happens is when I step into the energy field of somebody who is vibrating at a very high level, I have found over the years that there's this anxiousness that kind of comes over me because my body isn't attuned to that. So it's trying to speed up to match that. And as I have evolved, that space of stepping into that energy has become more comfortable. Have you ever had that happen to you?
Yes. And I think before, you know, I started this practice, I really didn't know what it was or like why I would be experiencing sort of the, and not just like mental feelings, but physical feelings as well, like the manifestation of that kind of energy on your body, right? You're, you know, dealing with somebody who's at kind of operating on a different frequency than you, it, you know, you're feeling the effects of that. And so there's a way to look at it, from the perspective of a magical practitioner.
So I brought this up because of what you said about building it up.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to go in there and run a marathon or like try it first. You want to like work on building it up.
Yeah.
And he did, like, for instance, he would do the LBRP. He said in his book, he actually did it one time, 100 times.
Yeah.
And that's not something I can tell you that I have done multiple different rituals to tune this room that I'm in to prepare for a specific healing that I was going to be doing on somebody. And I powered this myself up and this room, and man, I was like, feeling it. I mean, I was so energized, but I'm going to tell you something. I slept so hard that night.
Yeah.
And I found that my clients will come back and they'd say, is it normal for me to just fall asleep so deeply after having a session with you? And that's because you're receiving so much powerful energy that's coming at you that, yeah, you're just sort of like, you know? Yeah. And I've experienced that through Reiki energy, I've experienced that through acupuncture, different types of healing modalities where it is a higher vibration. And you're, you know, I come home and I'm just like, you know, because yeah. you're putting so much energy into the body to heal much faster.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things are considered a variation of a practice of high magic yeah. where you're working on healing somebody or on different levels, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, all of that is a type of high magic.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to speed up that energy around you so mm-hmm. that it works a lot faster. And that's kind of the purpose behind that is to, when we're doing it for ourselves, we're energizing ourselves so that it's not working at a much slower pace.
Right.
So we're speeding up our spiritual evolution, our mental thought process to thinking at a higher level, and our emotional space that we're in, to where we're not reacting animalistic, but more of a higher emotion. And that's basically what he did, was so that he didn't, you know, so that he could survive through yeah. the process. And it's such a beautiful story. And you're right. Like, he powered himself up so much, so intensely to try to get this resolved that when he got out, he was just like,
his done.
Body,
yeah.
His body needed to, mm-hmm. you know, recoup from that a little bit. So we don't necessarily do it 100 times.
No.
But we definitely do it multiple times a day.
Yes.
At least once a day, sometimes a couple of times a day, to keep that energy level up.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking about like what he said though about that, about if you want a better effect, you have to put in the effort
yeah.
more frequently, because the more effort that you put into it, the more of a result you're gonna get.
Yep.
And I just found that it's such a powerful tool
mm-hmm.
to do. I mean, my life has shifted drastically, and I've noticed others around me has shifted just from sitting in that space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you, yours as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one thing I like about Damien Eccles, and I would recommend like anybody who's, you know, still feeling really skeptical about this whole magic stuff, is have a look at his writing. Because I know I'm more of a doubter than maybe you are, Michelle. And so what I appreciated about Damien's book is that he was also a skeptic. And he describes like what I was feeling when I first started these practices, like, what the heck am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, does this make any sense? Is this like, am I even doing it right? You know, you just kind of put one foot in front of the other. You do this thing and, you know, and if you're not necessarily, it's okay to have doubt. Like, I think it's fine to have doubt. What I think the difference is having an open mind about it. Right. You can't be saying, you know, this stuff never works. It's totally stupid. It's more like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but I'm going to try it because it just might. And then, you know, like you're talking about building up and building up, the more you do it, the more you see that it is actually working, right? That things are actually changing, in my mind, in my body, in the space around me, in others, and so that's why I would recommend, if you're like feeling very skeptical, you know, be an empiricist, right? Try it. That's what I did. I think of myself as an empiricist. And when I ran out of solutions with dealing, you know, with some of my depression and anxiety, I tried everything. One thing that worked was this practice.
Absolutely. I personally, feel the exact same way. I feel like there's been massive changes in my life that has made a drastic difference. And if I hadn't done this, I probably will be in the same space that I was in before.
Right. And it's like, you know, sleepwalking, like you're just, you know, doing the same things over and over and over, numb to everything, and not really experiencing life or making any changes or making any changes in yourself that allow you to grow in this lifetime. And so I feel so much gratitude for having found this practice when, you know, it seemed nothing else had worked for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk about low magic for a second. What exactly is that?
Right. Well, I wanted to talk to you about this because I have a couple questions and sort of defining what low magic is versus like what, you know, the left-hand path versus the right-hand path of magic. And I think our definition of low magic isn't like the left-hand path of like evil demonic magic. It's just a different form of magic that's not ceremonial in nature. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Well, there's different kinds of low magic. There is low magic, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's dark. Mm-hmm. It's just they're not using the same tools that we are. It's more like earth tools.
Mm-hmm.
So they're using herbs and incense. And, you know, like if you were to go to a magic store, for example,
you would
walk in and there's these walls and walls of these jars of all different kinds of herbs and stuff. And what they do is they burn them. Mm-hmm. Or some of them even boil them and cook them, you know, and drink it as a tea. And some of them actually use specific verbiage, mm-hmm. and they chant that. So they're saying certain things over and over and over again to make that particular thing happen. And that would be something kind of like Wiccan, mm-hmm. where they're not working with the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
They're just working with earthbound energy.
Right. A lot of our practices involve using things like incense as kind of, I know accessory is not the right word, but like as a piece of it, like, you know, for some rituals, like, oh, you can burn frankincense, maybe as an enhancement. Would you say that high magic is being enhanced by low magic by using that, or is it something different?
No, I actually think that's a really good question. I would think yes.
Okay.
Because what we're doing is we're purifying and consecrating.
Yeah.
When we are purifying and consecrating those specific rooms, what we're doing is we're clearing that earthbound energy, mm-hmm. by using earthbound tools.
Yeah.
Or even ourselves. So for an example of that is before we do a ritual, it's always suggested that we, you know, bathe.
Yeah, ritual bath.
Mm-hmm. So when we're bathing, we'll put in some essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
We might use some salts. After we do that, we may burn some incense to kind of clear the energy. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of clearing out that space. So when you are doing that energy, it just amps it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My answer to your question was yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, when the tools are there, you use them all, right?
Yeah.
But the main difference between low magic and high magic is working with higher forms.
Right.
To help us evolve spiritually. And low magic tends to be more about making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll say, so for instance, like love spells or... you know, money spell.
Yeah. So very like particular thing for this mm-hmm. moment where I'm seeing what, you know, more of the high magic is like this consistent, like morning ritual, evening ritual work. That's just for, you know, banishing or invoking.
Yeah. Banishing out the negative energy around mm-hmm. us or invoking God within us. It's really the huge difference I see is it's more about spiritual growth versus making things happen for you. And, you know, most people that are interested in magic, the reason that they want to go into it is because they want to make things happen because things aren't happening the way they want.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the beautiful thing. When you do practice high magic, what you're doing is you're clearing out all that negative space and you're putting opportunity in front of you so those negative aspects don't impact you or affect you, because the negative things are going to always be around you, but it's like you're putting the shield around you so you're not impacted by those things.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can actually do the things that you came into this world to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you're not impacted by somebody else's energy.
Yeah.
Or somebody else's, you know, drop offs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then too, it can help you really figure out, you know, what you do want, right? And, you know, maybe you thought you wanted a certain thing, and would use, you know, a one-time spell to get the thing. But I think the consistent practice of ceremonial magic, high magic, helps you figure out what it is that your higher genius is really looking for.
And reaching our own personal purpose in this lifetime.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that kind of explains that part. So let's talk about a different type of magic.
Okay.
It's, well, actually, it's
the left-hand path, mm-hmm. right? Black magic.
Yeah.
And that, we should be clear, that is like not something we do.
Yeah, that is not something we do.
No, I won't.
I don't know a lot about it. I just know it's not something that I touch.
Mm-mm.
I have no interest in it, but there's a lot of self-absorbed mindset. It's a me kind of space. I actually had somebody that I'm working with. He brought his friend with him to a session that we were having, and I was just like, why are you here? And he was just very curious about the whole high magic thing. And he said that he had been practicing the left path. And I asked him why. I was just like, why did you choose that? And again, it was all about that whole me thing and about pleasures and the things that they can achieve. So you'll find that a lot of like movie stars, they admit it on the public forums. They talk about it all the time, but they work with that particular type of magic because it's about them, not about them growing, but what they can have. They take that path for that reason. They involve themselves in orgies, and that's what he was talking about specifically, you know, about the orgies and the, you know, all the things that they do. But depending on the levels that you go to, it gets creepier as you go up. So especially if you're working with a specific order, it gets a little creepier the further you go up. And the demands of what you need to do in that path gets creepier. And yeah. I don't really want to get into a whole lot of that. I think that you could probably find a lot of that stuff on YouTube if you really wanted to research it. The bottom line is with the left path, there eventually has to be a trade-off. And that's where it becomes very scary, because what do you have to trade except for your soul? I mean, that's really the only thing that really has value. But I have seen people in my lifetime that has taken the left path and it destroyed them. They got everything they wanted. They got the money. They got the girl. They got the life, they got the cars, they got the riches, but eventually it took a toll on them,
mm-hmm.
and they got mentally disturbed. They got involved in drugs.
Right. I was going to say, addiction is a big problem.
Yeah. Addiction does fall into that path because it's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of chasing that high. And once you get a certain high, you're always looking for something higher.
Mm-hmm.
And you're willing to do the next thing to get to that next high. And that's kind of how drug addicts work. You know, they do crack for one time. It feels really good. And then the next time they do it, it doesn't feel as good. So they're chasing that high.
Well, they do more and more and more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More and more and more. And so that ends up destroying them and killing them at a young age. And you'll see a lot of people that are very young and in that particular industry, in the entertainment industry, that die at a very young age or get involved in drugs or, you know, fall off the wagon completely. I mean, it gets kind of crazy how they get the fame and fortune, but they have to pay the cost.
Yeah.
And It is definitely something that I really like to warn people of not to go that direction. You know?
Yeah, I know people think it's like edgy and cool, but it's not.
No.
Not at all. No.
No, no,
stay
no.
Stay away.
No.
Stay away. No. There's so much more to be gained from, you know, the path of high magic. This path. You don't need to go in that direction.
You can achieve everything that your soul was here to achieve by walking in the path of the light.
Beautifully put. Yes.
And ultimately, even if you choose the left path, that just means that you're going to be reincarnated over and over again until you do it. Because ultimately, our goal as a soul is to eventually come back to God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah. Communion with the divine.
Mm-hmm. And that's usually why a lot of us in our particular order, we say we're working on our last lifetime, because what we're doing is we're elevating ourselves enough to where we can come back to God permanently.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, it's to me, it's such a beautiful path to walk, because you're helping others. And when you help others, you're helping yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things that Damien actually said in his book, is that when you are doing things like sending healing energy to somebody else, you're also healing yourself. When you work on helping other people, ultimately, the side effect of that is you're helping yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that we've kind of covered a good amount of this. Do you feel
I
like
do that? Too.
It's a really beautiful subject. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions about this, make sure you connect with us on Instagram and on Facebook. And all the links are in the bio. All the links are in the description. So if you really want to connect with us or have any questions, make sure that you come to our website. Each one of our episodes are always loaded up on the website and gives you an opportunity to ask some questions on those particular things. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you on the next episode. Hi, this is Michelle, and I want to take this opportunity to thank you for engaging in this podcast and taking this journey with us where we are raising your consciousness. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram and on Facebook so that you can actually engage with us, ask us questions, offer some suggestions, or anything that you would be willing to, you know, throw out there for us. We want to engage with our public. We look forward to hearing back from you and starting this journey. See you next time.